See, you you got to have a uniqueness to be unappreciated. You know, when nobody will say thank you, nobody will appreciate you. You know, you got to realize that I'm not in it for that. I'm in this thing because you know what? If you're waiting for appreciation sometime, your joy will leave. Your joy.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving.
Unrestricted. This invitation is unrestricted. And look further with me. Since the goodness of the Lord is seen in all the earth should make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The phrase, make a joyful noise, comes from the Hebrew word ruah, which was used to shout the victory over an enemy in Jeremiah 50:15. It was to sound the signal for war in Numbers 10 and 17. Now look at this, and I want to look at this one right here. The word was also used for the shouting that took place when David brought the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem. The folks were shouting. When the Ark came back to Jerusalem, they were shouting. The psalmist said, shout, ruah, unto the Lord, all ye land. Look at this. 2 Samuel 6. 2 Samuel 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And you know the background of the story. David was attempting to bring back the Ark of the Covenant to the holy city. And as he was bringing back the Ark, it was on a cart that was pulled by some oxen. And as these oxen were pulling the cart, it hit a bump. And guess what? The Ark, which contained the Ten Commandments and that pot of manna and Aaron's rod, that Ark started to slide off of the cart. And here was a brother there, Ebed-Melech, that thought that he could get a hold of it. Uzzah, he thought that he could get a hold of it and keep it up on the cart. And he tried to keep it up there from falling, got it back. And God killed him. We say, man, that was pretty cruel. Why did God kill him? He was just trying to make sure that the ark didn't touch the ground. Well, there was a couple of reasons. Number one, God told them that they weren't supposed to touch the ark, that they were supposed to use these poles that went through the rings in the ark, and they were supposed to carry it. That's the way they were supposed to transport it. They were supposed to transport it by these poles. So they were disobedient to the way that they were supposed to transport it. Then they weren't supposed to touch it. And so God killed him. And David gets discouraged, and David gets depressed, and David says, just leave the ark right here. And so he left the ark, and they put it in the house of this man named Obed-Edom. Look at verse 11. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Man, Obed-Edom was getting blessed. And verse 12 says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth to him because of the ark of God. This brother was getting blessed. You know, I heard one preacher say that, you know, David would look out of his window and he'd say, man, Obed-Edom done got new windows in this house. Look out. Man, Obed-Edom done got a new chariot. Looked out. Obed-Edom, look at them clothes that Obed-Edom's kids are wearing. Man, look at that. Man, God is blessing Obed-Edom. And then one day, Obed-Edom came outside of his house, and he was saying, I just want to thank you forever and ever. And ever for all. Obed-Edom had that song down. Obed-Edom was being blessed, brother. And David said, look, let me get this ark back up here in Jerusalem. And so David went down, the scripture says, so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. And it was that when they who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. With shouting. Yeah. Yeah. The ark is back in Jerusalem. The blessings are coming back to Jerusalem. I'm going to get me some new windows. I'm going to get me a new chariot. I'm going to get me a new crown. Yeah, the ark. The ark. The ark is back. Well, what did the psalmist say? The same word that's used there. The psalmist said, shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Shout unto him. And so this invitation is unrestricted. It goes out to everyone to come and shout out to God. The second thing we see is that not only is it an unrestricted invitation, but I like this right here. It's an unexplainable sensation. An unexplainable sensation. He says here, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This word gladness, look at the notes. You got to read this with me now. Look at the notes. The psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. The word gladness comes from the Hebrew word simah and refers, listen to this. Refers to being joyful with the whole being, which includes the heart, Psalm 105:3, the soul, Psalm 86:4, and the facial countenance, Proverbs 14:13. Man, gladness. A gladness that's in your soul and it shows up on your face. Some of y'all didn't come in here with that gladness this morning. Yeah, some of y'all came in like, I was wondering if somebody was sticking you up coming in here, you know? You walking in, man, sad and forlorn and discouraged. He said here, you know, that come before the Lord. That when you come before the Lord, come before him with gladness. Don't come up in here, sad. You might be sad when you come in, but somewhere a gladness ought to get up in your spirit, ought to get up in your heart. Nehemiah, when he was saddened in his heart about the walls of Jerusalem that they were torn down, Nehemiah said, man, I got to go before the king and ask him to help us to go back and build these walls. He said, but you know what? I better get my face straight before I go in there. I can't go before the king looking like this. I can't go before the king with a sad countenance. Now, if a man can be convicted in his heart that much about coming before another man, how much should God's people be convicted about coming before him without gladness in your heart? Without gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The birds. Man, you know, yesterday I went outside to get something out of my car yesterday afternoon. I heard birds singing. I said, look, man, it's getting ready to be wintertime around here. What are these birds doing? Chirping like that. The birds be singing. All of God's creation sings. Cole Porter said it like this. Birds do it. Bees do it. Even educated fleas do it. Let's do it. Let's praise the Lord. Now, he didn't say it like that. Now, Cole Porter had some other words in there, but once again, y'all know from last week that I like to write my own songs. So you know, we are to praise him. We are to come to his presence with singing in the heart, in the soul. And you know, when it gets in the heart and the soul, according to Proverbs 15 and verse 30, it's supposed to light up on your face. The joy of the Lord bubbles over in you. You know, there's a song. Brother Eric, can we play that song? I want to sing this song. I think it's a 22 and the red. 22 and the red. Get a red hymnal. Get a red hymnal. We're marching to say, y'all can sit down. Y'all can sit down. But and some of you know this song. I want to sing the first, the second, and the fourth. We're marching to Zion. Yeah. What did the songwriter say? Who wrote that song? Who wrote that song? I closed my book up. Whoever wrote it, what did he say? Let those refuse to sing who never knew the Lord. Now, I think that he must have read this 100th psalm, because the 100th psalm says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Man, you have an opportunity. I'm not even going to get to this part this week. Oh, my goodness. Verse 3. I'm not even going to get to verse 3 this week. You know, well, we got, you know, we got the majesty, we got the creator, and we got the shepherd. You know, I haven't even dealt with those 3 points in verse 3. But we're talking about an unexplainable sensation that when God has saved you and God is working in your life and God is doing something for you, that there's an overwhelming feeling that comes over you that just makes you glad, that makes you want to shout. You see, that's why, you know, sometimes, I'm not saying that you got to be out here acting all crazy and everything, but my point is that, you know, if you never get that feeling of, man, God is my God, that I know the Lord, and there's a feeling that you feel good about that. And I know that our faith is not built on feelings. I know that. So I'm not saying that you got to feel something to be saved. I'm just saying if you are saved at some point, you ought to feel something. There ought to be something down in your spirit that makes you happy. There ought to be something in your spirit that makes you glad. If you can go day in and day out and not get excited about what God has done and what God is doing in your life, you better go back and check your salvation. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. You know, God is not looking for sad servants. God is looking for people who are excited about serving him. Oh, I love on Friday afternoons, you know, just going over to the master's kitchen. And when I go back there and I see the ladies and some of the brothers back in there, you know what I say in there? Servants of the Most High God. Servants of the Most High God. You know, go to the ushers. Servants of the Most High God. To the choir. Servants of the Most High God. If we are servants of the Most High God, there ought to be some excitement about the fact that we are serving the highest creature, the highest being, that we have the opportunity to serve him. Oh, let me share with you something, and that is service. Look at it. And I'm going to hit this, then I'm done. Look at Luke 17. Luke 17. And I preached a message one time, and the title of the message was Service with a Smile. And under this point, we see the meaning of the sensation. We see the message of the sensation. And here in Luke 17, we see the motto of the sensation. But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him when he comes from the field, go and sit down to eat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready that I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I think not. And so you also, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, for we have done that which was our duty to do. Service. You got to serve God with a smile. This guy had been in the field all day. He had been laboring in the field. He came in from the field. Instead of him going up and getting him a glass of lemonade, the master said, oh, wait a minute, buddy. You're going to serve me first. So he had to take off his field clothes, gird himself, go prepare the meal, and then serve the master, wait until the master had finished and was satisfied. Then he could take care of himself. And you know what? He had to do it all with a smile. That's what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying, Serve the Lord with gladness. See, let me share with you four things about this passage, then I'm done. Service with a smile, first of all, involves a surrender to selflessness. That means you can't be, it can't be all about you. It's got to be about God. He said, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding will say unto him when he has come from the field, go and sit down to eat. It's not about you. This is about the kingdom. This is about God. You serve me. God says, serving me. And to serve God means that, and not to have this selfish agenda means that you are serving God and not yourself. That's your motive. What's your motive for serving? See, if I'm serving because, if I'm serving with my own agenda and something happens to upset me, I'm going to lose my smile. I'm going to lose my joy. But if my focus is on God, and he's the one that I'm serving, he's the one that I'm trying to please, guess what? No matter what happens down here, that's not going to rob me of my joy because there's my focus. There's the audience that I'm trying to please. See, you can't even come up in the church and bring that attitude of wanting to be the big cheese. You know, there's the illustration of that Tate family. Old man Dick Tate wants to run everything. Uncle Rotate wants to change everything. Sister Agitate wants to stir up trouble with help from her husband Irritate. When new projects are suggested, Hesitate and his wife Vegetate want to wait until next year. Aunt Imitate wants our church to be like the others. Devastate provides the voice of doom. Potentate wants to be the big shot. Oh, don't forget cousin Amputate, who got offended and cut himself off from the rest of the family. See, when this thing is about you, when it's about you, you're not going to smile. When you don't get your way, then you get upset and you want to quit. But if I'm serving God and the joy of the Lord is in my heart because I'm serving God, then I'm not going to get upset because you can't take that joy. As that songwriter said, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Service with a smile involves a surrender to selflessness. Look at this. It involves a toleration for toil. And that's doing one thing after the next, 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 and still having that joy in your heart. You know, sometimes you will do one thing after another, but God says, do it with that joy in your heart. That when you come to this meeting, come with joy. I'm serving the King. I'm serving God. When I come on Sunday morning to minister, I'm serving God. When I come on Sunday morning to worship, I came up in here to serve the Lord with gladness. I like. Look at Genesis real quick. Keep a finger right there in Luke. But look at Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. And we all know the story, how that Laban promised Jacob that he could have Rachel. And he pulled the old switcheroo on him at the last minute, and he gave him Leah. And so he told him that, well, if you want to marry Rachel, he says that you got to serve me another 7 years. And look at chapter 29 and verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. Wow. 7 years. He had already served. He was already serving to receive Rachel as his wife. But Laban tricked him. And he said, well, if you want Rachel, you got to serve another 7 years. And the scripture says here that they seem like a few days because he loved her. Some people, to be here this morning, you say, when is Pastor Glaze going to be done? I'll be done in a little bit. When is this man going to be done? But you know what? Now, I'm not, once again, I'm not trying to be judgmental. But if you love the Lord, if you love the Lord, it said here, he loved Rachel. He loved her. And to go out there every day and to work and to labor and to work and to labor, it didn't bother him. Why? Because he had love in his heart. And somebody said like this, that the 7 years that Jacob served, that he wrote a song after that. You know what the song was that he wrote? It went something like this. I ain't got time to discuss the weather or how long it's going to last. And I ain't got time to do no studying when I get out of class. And I ain't got the time to think about what makes the flower grow. And I never give it a second thought to where the rivers flow. Why? Because I'm too busy thinking about my baby, and I ain't got time for nothing else. Oh, the Temptations didn't coin that one. That was Jacob. Too busy. See, when you're too busy thinking about God, when God is the Lord of your life, and when your focus is on him and that joy is in your heart, oh, man, it's a joy to be able to come and serve the Lord. The third thing about a service with a smile, it involves a uniqueness to be unappreciated. And this is right there in your notes if you want them. A uniqueness to be unappreciated. He says here in verse 9, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Not. See, you know, sometimes when you serve, there's not going to be any thanks. There's not going to be any appreciation. But you know, if you're looking for appreciation from man, then you're going to be disappointed. But if you're looking for it from God, if you're looking for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, there was one time I was feeling a little unappreciated in my home. And my washing machine broke down. I said, well, look, I'm not going to fix it. Yeah, I'll teach them a lesson. They'll be thankful that I go to work, that I pay electricity, that I buy the water, that I pay for the, let it stay broke. They're going to learn the lesson. And after 3 days on my way to the laundromat, I said, I guess I really showed them, huh? See, you got to have a uniqueness to be unappreciated. You know, when nobody will say thank you, nobody will appreciate you, you know, you got to realize that I'm not in it for that. Amen. I'm in this thing because you know what? If you're waiting for appreciation sometime, your joy will leave. Your joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. That gladness will go real quick. And finally, the service with a smile, you know, involves a declaration of duty. He says in verse 10, so ye also, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants because we have just done that which was our duty. We just did what we were asked to do. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited that God would count me worthy to be one of his, as the elders would say, chillens. I'm just excited that God has called me to serve him. Oh, I thought I was going to get a little further along than this today, but an unrestricted invitation and an unexplainable sensation that when you serve, that service should be with joy and with a smile.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Three Signs of a Thankful Heart. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.